This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's edition of the Orange Bloods Modcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum, joined today by all of the Orange Bloods cast, myself, Alex Anwar, Dustin, Jason, here to talk not about the exciting Kansas game that I thought earlier this morning about what the podcast would sound like if Kansas was in 2 days and the narrative about the game was going to be what it was. Like, how do we talk about that at all and have people interested? Luckily or unluckily, there's no Kansas game to talk about, which has its positives and negatives, but I want to play buy or sell today. So I have a series of questions that I want to throw out to everybody. We'll all answer buy or sell. I won't. I'm just the MC on this deal. And then we'll explore the buys or the sells baked into those questions kind of as we go. Everybody ready? Everybody doing good? Anybody have any questions? Like, we're just gonna jump into the fray and do this thing. All right. Buy or sell question number one. We're actually going to start with the Kansas game. Anwar and I did a podcast that you can access on the Yak. Shout out to our partners over at the Yak. It's free. It's over. It's a reaction of us from the Kansas game. Now that the Kansas game is in the back of the schedule, the question is, buy or sell, you think the way the season plays out changes based on the flipping of the Kansas game from the next game on the schedule to the last game on the schedule and kind of extending the week one more week? I guess I'm just asking, buy or sell, you think that's a significant thing or you don't? Give me some answers.
I'll sell that. I mean, maybe from the standpoint of, you know, if Texas is in a position to win that last game in the Big 12 title game, you'd much rather play Kansas in that situation than potentially what it was originally. But I don't think that really significantly alters the kind of the landscape for them moving forward.
Anwar, what about you?
I buy it simply from a health standpoint. You know, you go into if you would have played Kansas this week, and one of the things I'll, you know, have in the war room, you know, I think Jordan Whittington was going to be on course to play this week. Joshua Moore would have been a game time decision. You know, you still got Sam and, you know, who looks injured. So if you give those guys another week to get healthy, and you know you have Jordan Whittington for sure versus Iowa State, Joshua Moore for sure versus Iowa State, and Sam has had, you know, what would be essentially, 3 weeks to get healthy, I would buy that it makes a difference, especially if Sam is healthier down the stretch.
All right, Jason. The way this is supposed to go is everybody gives their answers in advance. In this instance, you've heard cases for both sides. So you actually now are being influenced before you give your answer. I just wanted to acknowledge that you now may have been influenced.
Not really. My initial reaction was I'm with Dustin on this. I'm selling. It's Kansas. I don't think it really matters. I mean, Anwar makes a good point for health, but I mean, you very well could have rested a couple of those guys this weekend anyways if they played. So I don't think it changes a whole lot. I mean, Texas was better have beaten Kansas regardless. So, I don't think it really changes a whole lot.
Alex? The way they've been using Josh Moore, he's been resting for a while.
So. Dustin with the first good zinger of the podcast. Nice job. Nice job. That one actually made me laugh. All right, Alex, what do you got?
I mean, I buy that it makes a difference. I think anything that changes the timeline here and anything that puts things any further into flux or adds any additional, just factors into the situation makes a difference. And the fact now we're taking this thing out to December 12th, wherever if Tom Herman has two more wins at that point in time, and it was looking like basically a cupcake kind of win upcoming versus Kansas, at that point in time, you know, schedules get, you know, thrown off. Things are, it's just, you know, it changes the timeline. And I think if something changes the timeline, obviously it makes some kind of difference to whatever it is that we're talking about here, you know, just the situation in general.
Alex, I'm so glad that you answered the question the way that you did, because it really lines in with my next question. But real quick, I just wanted to throw this in there. I just have a mad theory that the Kansas game was no big deal, that was just kind of we're going to get that done this weekend without really any pressure. Like, nobody was really paying attention to Kansas. I think what will be funny about this game, should we get to this point on, I guess, December 12th, where Texas has something to play for, right? So they win their next two games. Then they go on the road, and they may be taking on a Kansas team that's, 0-9 at that point, and it could have completely mailed it in and will just get rolled over. That could happen. But Texas suddenly goes to Lawrence, and whereas nobody was watching that game this weekend, everybody would be watching Texas and Kansas. And you would either get Kansas going YOLO and suddenly becoming a problem, because that's what Texas does in these types of games. I don't know. It feels like the pressure of that game could be significantly higher December 12th than it would be this weekend. And because Texas doesn't always do great with pressure, I'm fascinated by what that game would look like when and if we get to there. All right, so the buy or sell question, it's a follow-up to the way that Alex answered the question. Alex, I'm going to start with you because you've kind of already answered it, but I want you to be able to kind of approach your answer again from the standpoint of this question specifically being asked. Buy or sell, the Kansas game being moved to December 12th complicates whatever it is that Texas wants to do with this season.
I'm already
is
buying.
Over.
I'm lying. Yeah. Okay. Even hear the rest.
You don't need me to. I need to finish the question for everybody else.
All right. I'm sorry.
For whatever it is that Texas is going to eventually do, whether it's keep Herman, fire Herman, whatever, making the season go an extra week from the 5th to the 12th complicates this in some form, fashion, or shape.
Yeah, I buy.
Okay.
For all the reasons I talked about.
Yeah. Okay. So that's an easy one. No additional follow-up needed. It's just not healthy. It's just not ideal.
It adds in new factors and new variables to a situation that was very complicated to begin with.
Okay. Everybody else, real quick, before we go into the conversation and anybody's opinions, just give me the buy or sell real quick.
I buy that.
Okay. Anwar?
Yeah, I'll buy.
Okay, and then Jason.
You know what? I'm a soft buy, but it is a buy.
Okay, so we all buy. Let's just talk about it for a second. Whatever it is that Texas is going to do, like, it going to the, you know, his buyout at that point drops down and the season's over. And when it was the 5th, no matter what it was, it felt like that's really kind of around the, I don't know, like, it weirdly does feel like potentially problematic, in that if that game matters on the 12th, then he's already making this thing much more difficult than I think behind the scenes all of us are hearing people would like this thing to go. They really want Tom to make this easy for them, and that they could win all of the games and still be competing for a Big 12 championship at that point. And be on a winning streak is tricky, right?
Yeah, it's definitely tricky. I think that the buyout lowers what, December 1st. So, you know, there's probably some people that keep, you know, kind of have an itchy trigger finger and are hoping that the problem would just give them an easy solution. But yeah, if they win the next two games and Kansas is sitting there on the 12th, like, suddenly that game a much different meaning considering what could follow that. I think it makes what was already probably a complicated process. It just kind of adds another additional layer to it that kind of prolongs what's going on.
Anwar, we've talked, you and I have already done a couple podcasts this week together about this stuff, all stuff. We specifically spent some time talking about this subject. It is, look, he's going to get a chance to roll this thing out. They, at this point, powers it be, even if they really want him gone, they've allowed him to get on a winning streak. And I'm just, you know, I mean, what? That's a month away. That game is like not quite a month away. That's another month of just winning games. And the tone of the overall season, I mean, at that point, it really extends it to the 19th, right? Because if they get to Kansas, then they got to let them play Oklahoma. Like, they could still – and I've got Oklahoma. It could be Oklahoma State. Like, Bedlam will in part decide who the opponent of that game would be, because Oklahoma couldn't withstand another loss. But if they win this game, they're really in the driver's seat to be the team that whoever would play in that game. There's just this vision that this could be clean and over with, and it still might. It still might. December 1st, it drops. They've lost before then. This thing gets to be, I think, real easy. But if it doesn't, like, this thing just getting strung along a little bit, weirdly, is leverage for Tom Herman that he didn't previously have, I guess.
Well, I mean, the more he wins, I mean, clearly, it makes it difficult for those who are looking for a change. And, I still think it would have worked a little bit better for Tom to have had the Kansas game this week, because you get to six. And, once you get to six, now it's just it's really just two more at that point. And then I know it's two more either way, but I just think getting to six sooner would have been, probably a more ideal situation than where he's in, right now, which is having to wait a week and then, and dragging the whole thing out. I just think the whole thing is weak sauce, to be quite honest with you. I mean, the whole thing's weak sauce. Well, let's see if he wins or he doesn't win. Like, yeah, he's your coach or he's not. I mean, that whole, like, should he or should he not be or anything to that effect. Like, at the end of the day, like, if he's your guy, he's your guy. And if he's not, he's not. I mean, and all this other stuff, I mean, he doesn't have to tell me. I mean, was there ever things that it was like, well, if Shaka doesn't get to the tournament last year, he's gone? Or at the end of the day, it's just like, well, is this guy, did COVID save him? I don't know. I just feel like the whole situation's weak sauce. If you want to pull the trigger, this whole, well, let's see what happens thing, why? And if you want to keep him, then keep him. But this whole in-between stuff, it's weak.
Well, Anwar, can I ask a follow-up question that is part devil's advocate, but also part, I think, just digging a little deeper into the suggestion?
Go for it.
So, because I feel you now, like, they're in an uncomfortable position that we could do tons of dating metaphors for, and the idea would be, look, if you need to get out, get out. But, like, this is how they played themselves. Are you suggesting that if they knew after Oklahoma, truly knew, then it needed to be done? Because I think what's happened, I don't think they've done anything that probably doesn't happen in 90%, maybe 90% plus of situations like this. Like, I think the manual says you let them play out the season for a variety of reasons. But playing by the playbook and how they handled potentially a post Oklahoma decision, where it would, I can just tell you from talking to people that I've talked to, they felt like that would have been a stigma that they didn't want, they didn't want to be seen as panicking. They didn't want to be seen as being unfair, that they didn't want to be seen as rash. Like, this is a school that its leadership thinks of as not the kind of school that fires a coach midseason. However, your point is entirely fair that here we are now, his team is ranked. It's on a three-game winning streak. It we presumably it would have been four if they played Kansas this weekend. It seems to be moving towards some positivity, and like it's still, it could still get to a Big 12 championship game fairly easily. It just needs to win three games that it will be favored to win. Now they're in this weird spot where we're literally talking about it, like buy or sell. This is all really fucking weird. Is the suggestion that they just needed to act back in October, because now in not being decisive, they, whereas once they might have been seen as rash, now they can be seen as incompetent because this thing just lingers and does nobody any good by kind of lingering and just being this elephant in the room that with all due respect to everybody involved, like everybody could do without it, I would think.
Well, I mean, who's it benefiting? I mean, we have a clear feud between, you know, Herman and Del Conte, where, you know, we have a very interesting Monday press conference and what that looked like. And there was a lot of different interpretations from that, you know, that press conference. You know, you have a fan base that is, you know, kind of wondering, okay, what the hell is going on? You got recruits who are sitting there saying, I don't know what the hell's going on with this program, and I'll just stay away from you know, the time being. You know, I don't see what the win is. And we talk about a perception standpoint. If Texas finishes 7-3, for those who follow the team closely, you know, and they pull the trigger, they'll say, all right, cool, but we finished, you know, it was time. But, you know, one of the points that I brought up on a podcast previously, that there's still people who, you know, again, I don't agree with them, but there's people out there who feel like Charlie Strong got a raw deal. And they feel like Charlie Strong deserved more time. Again, I don't agree with those people, but there's people out there who will tell you that. And there's people out there who will tell you, like, man, Texas, with the whole Mack Brown situation, you know, what the hell do they want? Like, he was winning games. And they'll tell you, well, he gave up on this guy. Then they'll look from some people from the outside will say, hell, oh, this guy won how many bowl games for them? And he got fired after a 7-3 season? Like, man, that Texas, that UT place, that's a effed up place over there. You know what I'm saying? So I think that what I'm saying is, from a perception standpoint, it's not going to matter. You know, people are going to view it probably negatively regardless. So the thing is, if you feel like, hey, this is what you want to do and this is where you're at, don't play the song and dance and don't play the game of, well, if he goes ahead and wins out this and this does this. It's like, dude, if this is the person you want, then just to make the moves in order to make it happen. I'm not saying you necessarily have to do after Oklahoma, but the whole dangling of the carrot, this whole like, well, if he does this, then he retains the job. Like, if you want him, you want him. If you don't, you don't. Like, and what you see over the next couple of weeks should not sway you one way or to another as to what your opinion is. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, don't play the game. If you want the man, have him here. If you don't want him, let it be. Even if you don't let it be known, there's ways to let it be known. Like, catch, you know how this game is played. And the whole, let's just see what kind of hoops that happens and is jumped through, and you've got it just, I just don't see how it's benefiting anybody.
Okay.
It kind of makes sense on what Omar is saying. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, think about, after 4 years, let's say Texas is playing Kansas State and they're down by three and on the 2 yard line, first and goal with 30 seconds left, the ball slips out of Sam Ellinger's hands or something, just something ridiculous. And that's going to determine Tom Herman's job fate after 4 years, one potentially like fluke play. I mean, I kind of agree with Anwar. Like, if that's a decision that Nick wants to be made, it really shouldn't, the people that matter want to make, it really shouldn't matter how these next three games play out. It's kind of a, so if you're a big money donor or whatever person in the administration who thinks Tom Herman needs to be let go, are you now sitting there hoping that Texas loses a game because that's what you need to happen? I mean, it is kind of silly that's what it comes down to. Is, I mean, potentially one play could ultimately determine Tom Herman's fate if the games are that close. But
at this point, though, wouldn't Tom Herman point towards the Keontae Ingram fumble and say,
"Well, sure."
I mean,
that was a long time ago. I think. people have moved on past that.
Definitely. Oh.
But if something like that happened against Kansas
City, and maybe the other people would point to it and say, see, this is why we want to get rid of you.
That was such an underrated little barb.
What I missed? I missed it. I'm sorry. What was I was speaking? What did I miss?
He said, "Which one?"
Oh,
I don't mean no disrespect, but I'm assuming we're talking about the TCU one because he fumbled on back to back possessions in different games.
No, you're right.
Which is what makes the why Bijan can't play kind of ironic because they're like, well, he had ball security issues. I'm like. That's a thing now.
Do you know the other thing, Catch, is that the thing that I found interesting, and I was just wrapping up a chat I was doing earlier this morning over on the side, and one of the things people asked me about was, or one of the things I mentioned was, Herman in his press conference on Monday talked about how he didn't say it, but he wouldn't answer the question. He wouldn't answer Kirk Bowles' question. Remember about. It might have been Brian Davis. I forgot who it was who asked him, does this season even matter at all? And he said, well, of course the season matters, et cetera, et cetera. He said, but, do I think that people should be evaluated based on this season? Like that, I have a different answer for. And they followed up there like, well, what's your answer to that? And he said, like, I'd rather not talk about it. He's basically saying that, people shouldn't be evaluated on this season. And I think that that's something that, that's obvious the way he feels. I think it's kind of a BS way to look at it. But I think that thing could come back to bite him a little bit if he's having to point at the season and the fact that he got to a Big 12 championship game, et cetera, for a reason that, he should be able to keep his job when he's
as bus champ. If the season matters.
Yeah.
I mean, he got fired. So clearly for some,
it's people, a season.
It matters. Right?
You play to win. The game.
Here's an interesting thing, fellas. Look, Del Conte's he's like a groundhog who's seen its shadow and has gone back into hiding for 6 weeks. What if you're Herman, what you want to get Del Conte to do is come out on the record and talk about, hey, what's it like to have a football coach before he's failed or succeeded? You want to put him in a corner where he has to acknowledge, yeah, we just had a game canceled. This is an incredibly difficult thing that these coaches are, you know what I mean? Like, Herman's not wrong in that, in theory, this probably isn't a season that you should judge a guy. Like, it shouldn't be, but like it was for Will Muschamp and it will be for Tom Herman. But I think what Herman wants to do is get his boss's thoughts on this on the record. Like, go ahead, tell him, go ahead and say now that all of the difficulties of games being moved and play like this stuff that's really happening on the ground right now doesn't matter, that I'm going to be judged. He won't come out and say that. And it's one of the reasons why Herman is saying things like, I've got my boss's vote of approval. And how do I know that? Because I'm talking to him every day and he's telling me he'll do this and he's saying this. And he's got nothing to dispute that publicly. Like I found the things he said on Monday incredibly fascinating, but he's trying to, and at least in my estimation, he's asking for Del Conte to come out and say something. And Del Conte's not, with all due respect to his, his like weekly newsletters that, are what they are. He's not taking questions. He hasn't addressed on the record at any point in the last few months any of the stuff that's happened. And here we go again, more stuff happening. And, in part, if we get to December 12th and we're talking about, is it problematic at all that the week just got extended by a week? In part, it might be because of the inaction that has taken place that didn't have to take place. From Tom Herman's boss, just at full disclosure. Okay, guys, buy or sell, because I got more questions and I want to make sure that we get to them because I think they're good questions. Buy or sell, everybody just give their answers based on what their sources are telling them behind the scenes and the general vibe of what we know. Buy or sell, you believe the powers that be at Texas want to replace Tom Herman at the end of the season. That is, give them a choice that they can have one or the other. The vibe from sourcing tells you they want to make change by yourself.
Can I ask him one clarifying question?
Sure.
I don't know if it'll be like, are you talking about the powers that be being the people around the program who give them a bunch of money, who the administration listens to, or the actual administration.
I'm talking athletic director, president, board of regents, high money structure, all of it.
Oh, okay. Well, I can only speak to high money structure because I don't talk to the athletic director, any of those guys. But I know that big money guys want Tom Herman fired. Bye.
I'm buying all of it based on the things I've heard. It's pretty much been unanimous, everything I've heard, that people want changes made. So I'm buying it.
That's a buy for me too.
Oh, it's a buy. I hope there's a follow-up question to that.
There are. That's just the setup to the next. Okay. Like, I needed everybody to say bye to that so that we could go on to the next questions, which is real simple. The next question as a follow-up: buy or sell, if Texas makes the Big 12 championship game, so they win the next three, but they lose it, buy or sell, Tom Herman loses his job?
I'll say bye.
Yeah, bye.
If they make the Big 12 championship game but lose?
Yes.
Sell.
There we go. Okay, we do have a sell. So Anwar, explain the sell.
Until you see big, bold decision making,
you won't believe it.
I'm not going to believe it. I think it's really easy to talk that shit now, and I think it's real easy. You're telling me that you're going to rationalize in your head firing a guy that finished 8-3. Like that's what I'm supposed to believe, that it doesn't matter. 8 wins, 80% of your games, losing in the Big 12 championship. Now look, if they get blown out by OU, 4 touchdowns or something crazy like that, okay, I'll take that back. But if they lose the way they normally lose, which is on the last possession, right, which is what we've seen all year long, I'm selling big bad money guys. Everyone we're firing an 8-win coach. I need to see that to believe it.
I think that's completely fair.
I agree with Anwar. I think it's easier to say it now than it is to rip that Band-Aid off. But I still think they're going to find a way to rip the Band-Aid off if it comes to that. But I do agree with Anwar. It's a hell of a lot easier to say those things now behind the scenes. Like, he's gone no matter what. He's gone no matter what. And then, okay, then actually have that conversation with him after he makes the Big 12 championship game would be very, very tough. And, you know, there'd be some national backlash, I think. I mean, from the media, just – I think it was Anwar said it earlier. Like, what the hell's going on at Texas? Firing a coach who just made it to the Big 12 championship game and was competitive in the Big 12 championship game?
It would represent maybe – at worst, the second best season of the last decade. I mean, if they go 8-2 in the regular season and make it to the championship game, but it's only the second time.
Every coin. I mean, it's 8-2 in a watered down Big 12. They've played ugly ass football against.
That's completely fair.
So there's two ways to spin it. No matter which way you want to take. But
it's also been a cockamamie season for a lot of reasons. There's been there's been fracturing behind the scenes. There's been stuff that's happened that's really pissed people off. It's hard both ways though.
Like you can't say if they win, well, it doesn't count because this is a fucked up season. But then if he loses, it should count, and then he should get fired. Like it's got to be one or the other.
No, it doesn't, because I'm not doing a damn thing. I'm predicting what other people are going to do. So don't say those guys.
I think his point's right too. I don't buy the argument.
It's a fucked up season. I think that's a piss poor excuse. You don't see Lincoln Riley.
Well, I think Alex corrects me, but I think you're saying just it was messed up because of the dysfunction aspect.
But I think the excuse of COVID and this, that, and the other, bullshit, man. You still got teams playing good football in Texas is not one of them.
I'm not using COVID.
I'm not talking about you, Alex. Not at all.
What would help them with the perception aspect is the recruiting element. And I mean, that's it would be the perception would be one thing if they've just got a really good 2021 class. They've got a guy like Ewers locked in for 2022. They're starting to have the ball rolling there. People would be like, whoa, like you've got guys, you know, it's not the same thing. But, you know, when Shaka lands Greg Brown, it's like, oh, you know, at least he's still getting these guys coming in. And the recruiting element is one of the biggest pieces of this puzzle, because I think people behind the scenes are paying attention to recruiting now more than they ever have before.
And that's an interesting question. If Ewers decommits in January, if Ewers had held out until January and then decommits after football season is over with, like that had done Herman a huge favor. Like,
absolutely. He would then making the Big 12 championship game absolutely saves his job, I think.
Ewers is weirdly the biggest loss of the season because it kills, you know, the recruiting already was shaky, but Ewers represented this reason to believe that this next season's class wouldn't follow the same path. With his departure, now it's like we're exactly with 2022 where we were in the 2021 class at this exact moment. You're going to have these 2022 kids, if Herman were to stick around, would probably keep Texas in their top five. They'd probably say things like, we really like Texas and we really like the coaches, but, you know, we really need to see them take the next step. And it would play out like in the exact same way. We'd go into the spring. We'd be talking about all these guys. We'd get to the summer, and then it would be like, how many are going to wait before they make decisions? Can Texas get off? All of those conversations would just repeat themselves, as would the Herman job security issue. If that never happens, and we don't have that in front of us now, I didn't think it at the time when it happened, but I think Herman's job security, I don't know if it's quite Greg Brown level, because I think some people, when this thing's over with, might still be so pissed off about the whole thing that's been happening that they would say, Quinn Ewers be damned, we're making a change. But Ewers really was a big deal.
And how crazy is it that a kid that's in his first semester as a high school junior carries that much clout that he has some impact? We don't know how much, but I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say he has some impact. His decommitment has some impact on Tom Herman's future at Texas. And I mean, it's just wild to me that a 16, 17 year old, whatever he is, kid has that kind of impact. But I mean, that's Quinn Ewers is arguably the number one player in the country. And I think Dustin's right when he said people, the power players at Texas and people in the administration and big money donors and the people who really matter, I think they're probably paying a lot closer attention to recruiting than we've ever seen before.
But you know, Jason, I think Quinn was kind of, if this thing happens, that's the knockout blow. The staggering blow, yep, that puts you on the ropes was the Brocker Myers. I think that was the wait a second, because that should not have happened. Like the legacy, everything there, you know, you got family legacy, parents played there, came to the school, played school, all this other type of stuff. And when they decided they weren't going to go to UT, and when they have to walk past burnt orange in their house every single day, and they were like, nah, we're not going to go, I think that was what put this whole thing on the ropes. And I think that's, and the Quinn thing ends up being probably the knockout blow.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I mean, the Brockermeyer brothers were the two knockdowns in one round, and Quinn Ewers is the third knockdown to end the fight, maybe. So
very much like Tyson Spinks. You know, just power punch, power punch, power punch, done. Buy or sell. Tom Herman could still lose his job if he wins the Big 12 championship.
So. I think the key word there is could.
It is a key word. I'm not saying he will.
I'm gonna baby buy that. Although I can't find any sort of previous precedent for that sort of thing. But you know, and like Anwar was pointing out earlier, it's easy to talk a big game right now. You know, but when push comes to shove, and you actually got to try to make a decision. But I just from the way people are talking, I'm just gonna baby buy that.
I think baby buy is a good way to put it. I'm going to go lockstep with Dustin on this one. I mean, the things we've kind of heard behind the scenes and just rumblings and rumors and he said, she said, or third hand information or whatever you want to call it, is that that is something that people are saying is possible. If it comes to that, very possible, even likely, but kind of as Anwar said, it's easy to say that in mid-November. It's easy to say that in mid-October coming off the Oklahoma loss and everything that was going around the program. But, you know, if you're then coming off, what would that put him at? That'd be a 7-game winning streak, right? In a Big 12 championship game, a Big 12 championship. I don't know how you make that move in that scenario. So, but I think it is on the table. And I think people are certainly discussing that as a viable possibility. So I'm going to go to use Dustin's phrase with a baby buy on that.
Anwar, are you the only one that hasn't given an answer yet?
I think Anwar might have stepped away for a second.
Okay. Oh, yep.
I mean, if I knew we were allowed to do these baby buys, I might have thought about that. I kind of like the sound of a baby.
You can change your answer.
I kind of like the sound of a baby.
Kind of a cop out answer, but
because the could element to me is the most could important. Element, like, that's true. It's kind of crazy to me when you consider, you know, how many conference titles Texas has won in the last couple of decades that it would even be a possibility. But just, you know, the way people are talking and stuff like that, I think it is a possibility. And
so with the could, man. I'm a baby buy. With the will, I would be a sell.
Anwar, we've got 3 baby buys on this buy or sell of Tom Herman wins the Big 12, but could not will could still lose his job. You are the last answer.
Oh, then I'll sell. Because I'm not convinced they'll fire him if he loses the Big 12 championship games.
But do you think that they could?
that's a weird question.
I guess the way it was framed, if they win the Big 12 championship, Anwar, does that 100% save Tom Herman's job?
Bye. If they win the Big 12 championship, do I think they'll fire him? No.
So yeah, Anwar's taking the opposite stance of our baby buys. Boy, that was a confusing way.
So you're a way of asking.
I don't know how to. Yeah. And by the way, I had to run away from the mic real quick, so I missed some of the prelude. So
no, you're good. You're good.
You're caught up.
No. You missed nothing other than Alex. What you missed was Alex hearing baby buys as a possibility to a question, and he was like, "Wait a minute. I don't have to wholly endorse buy. I can just kind of buy it." He really liked the idea of just being able to barely dip his toe into the water. That's all you missed. Alex dipped his toe into the water. Buy or sell. Texas administrative people, whoever, Chris Del Conte, I guess, would be the most important person here. Chris Del Conte and others already know an answer one way or the other from Urban Meyer. Buy or sell?
Sell.
Strong sell. I don't think there's any way they know that.
Sell. I mean, it's we've seen in the past and how many of these coaching searches we have followed or covered. You got to go at dudes like that the right way, and it's not done until it's done. So I'm going to sell that.
Is the question that they feel like he would be interested?
No, it had to be in.
Like they have an answer.
And I don't mean a deal's done, but I mean indications. If we do what we're going to do, you're going to be our guy. They know they have an unofficial, our word is strong as oak, one way or the other. I mean, it could be, I'm not saying he's to say yes. I mean,
you went John Brantley on that one.
I did, but it was more like Jerry Maguire. You know, which was always what Brantley's dad did was rip off that movie.
It was more like Brantley's dad, right?
Yeah. Well, no, but Brantley's dad happened after the movie. Jerry Maguire predates John Brantley by a decade. So that's why that whole thing was really fascinating, because he stole the Jerry Maguire thing and then ended up doing the exact same thing that Jerry Maguire that happened to Jerry Maguire. Yeah. So I'm just asking, like, they've reached out to Urban Meyer, and he's told them, yeah, no, I'm coming back into coaching, and I would be, yes. Well, as long,
bye.
You know what I mean? You're a buy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Del Conte goes into this kind of shell on purpose. There, you know, I don't believe in that kind of coincidence. I think that there's been enough noise and enough people who have been in his ear behind the scenes. And I feel like there's probably been some sort of third party reaching out, you know, and, you know, this type of stuff. Yes, I think that now I'm not saying I'm 100% convinced he comes.
I put it on record that I buy what Anwar's saying.
I don't believe Del Conte is, you know, we might be splitting hairs, but distancing himself from the football team and specifically his football coach, if there's not something that's being talked about behind the scenes that he feels like might as well go and distance myself now.
Buy or sell? Urban Meyer. So let me, I guess I should say this. Nick Saban currently makes $9.3 million per year. Ed Orgeron is right at $9 million a year. And I think Dabo has a deal where his is about to jump into the, I think he's at like 8.3, but I think Dabo's contract's set to go up. So my question is, buy or sell, Urban Meyer doesn't come to Texas for less than $9 million a year guaranteed.
He does. So buy or sell that he doesn't come.
He won't come unless he makes $9 million a year or more.
Oh, I'll buy that. I mean, his agent's not going to let him. Yeah, of course. He's one of the top coaches there is. He's not going to jump back in unless he's getting paid like one. Bye.
So you the highest paid coach in the country?
I think he needs to be in the same stratosphere as Saban and Dabo Swinney and all those other guys. I'm not sure if he'll be the highest paid, but I mean, it's going to be, if those guys are all making nine plus, he will make nine plus.
I'll buy it that he's, you know, he would need that kind of money. Highest paid coach. I think maybe some incentives added to that deal could push him into that area, which I think is going to start becoming more common with these coaches, but yeah, I'll buy it. I mean, they're going to have to, if they were going to hire Urban Meyer, it's going to cost them that statement-esque kind of money.
Yeah, I'm buying that as well. They're not getting him for $6-7 million, I don't think. So.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Alex, yeah, it's funny to say out loud. It really is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they, you know, he overlooked his, he's got all the leverage in the world. All of it. All he's got to say is, I'm too sick. Yeah. Or my family doesn't want me to. And like, because, buy or sell, here's the other thing. Or onward, we all answered, right? Everybody gave an answer.
I mean, I'm with everyone else, so we're good.
Buy or sell, because I've got a couple of questions. All these questions are leading to a place, and we're a couple of questions away from it. Buy or sell, you believe Texas has a clear backup plan if there's no Urban Meyer and they make a change at head coach. Buy or sell?
Sell.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. We're just talking about Urban Meyer's leverage and what he's got Texas by. There's no backup plan. What is the backup plan? What is, because there really is still some I'm still hearing people with connections, alleged connections to Urban Meyer, where they, you know. The health thing is not some untrue thing. Like, he does have health issues, and they're at least taken seriously enough that their existence in the world is acknowledged. It's not like he's like, I don't even worry. You know, there is a consideration that he has to give something to. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen where he doesn't come back. What the hell happens if that's the case?
I mean, you just don't.
It's a great question.
Well, everyone puts on a good face and they say what needs to be said in front of the cameras, but everybody knows behind the scenes. Like, I think everybody knows. Tom, Del Conte will know. Like, everybody will know. Like, and everyone will move on. But it's like a bad relationship where some stuff happens. You move on, but you're never going to forget.
Buy or sell?
I think ideally the I think the big money guys, I think, are still really caught up with how this thing unraveled. And I think if it wasn't Meyer, they would try to actually swing for the fences with some big money. But I just don't know who would actually be attainable. And I don't think they do either.
Okay, forget about attainability. That leads to the next buy or sell question. Buy or sell, when an Orange Blood subscriber, and let me just full transparency, my answer to this is sell. But when an Orange Blood subscriber asks you who your choice for Texas head coach would be in a world where everything's possible, in theory, you personally have a backup to Urban Meyer on call as your guy. If Urban Meyer just decides no, for whatever reason, you personally have a name in your head, buy or sell.
Who would I call?
I do have a name in my head. A buy.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dustin, you have a name?
Man, I'm a clear name. No, I got to sell. I don't have one.
Onward, do you have one? You a buy or sell?
Obtainable? I mean, are we having like a realistic conversation or a fantasy question?
I mean, it kind of depends on what your answer is.
I'll sell on it.
Okay, so now we have two buys. I want to hear the two names.
All right, for me, it's the Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator, Joe Brady.
Okay, and Jason, let me hear your name.
Interesting. This is going to be kind of homerous. I know it's a pipe dream. I call Mike Tomlin, dude. Ben's at the end of his rope. Tomlin, maybe he's looking to get out and try something different. I think he would absolutely kill it as a college coach. Imagine that dude walking into living rooms and recruiting. I mean, he would be a phenomenal college coach and probably better than the NFL. And I would make that call and make him tell me no.
All right. Mike Tomlin's not leaving the Steelers after a Super Bowl
I'm
win.
I'm coming to you in a second.
I like it, Dustin. Good point.
Onward, I'm coming to you in a second. I just have something I have to say to Jason real quick. Because here's the deal. Now that he's throwing Tomlin on the table, Onward, you can say whatever name you want to.
I'd call Shanahan, like, too.
Hey, I feel Shanahan. Like we've crossed over in the land of we can just say whatever the hell. Jimmy Johnson.
Tomlin and Mike and Kyle Shanahan, I'd have them on a three-way call and say the first one to say yes gets the job. So...
I'll give you one if you really were saying if you really felt like a move had to be made, and I'm not talking about like fantasy world or something, Bob Stoops.
Well, that's not so crazy. I mean, that is the name behind the scenes I've had floated when it first
Florida
floated
State
by
people
me,
swear he had interest in that job. I don't really believe them, but that was a thing for weeks.
I felt like I got a trial balloon on that behind the scenes. Someone threw that name at me and I was like, well, look, I told them, I said, well, you can't compare him to Urban. I mean, no offense to Bob, but Urban is arguably the best at his craft in the history of the sport. Like for me, it's either him or Saban. And as I told Onward in a podcast earlier this week, you certainly make the case that at the Michigan State Utah level jobs that they both had, that Urban Meyer did better at Utah significantly than we ever saw Nick Saban do at Michigan State. And then they both have gone on to other places and won national championships. And I mean, you know, it is to me, they are separate from everybody else. But if you took those two dudes off the table and you took Dabo, I mean, Bob, if a program hired Bob, I'd be like, oh, they're going to be really good. Like Bob Stoops is.
Oh, that's a good call. That's a good call.
It just would break every rule in the world, right? Like in the universe, that couldn't happen.
Why didn't Coach Royal coach at OU?
Not like Bob Stoops coached
it too. Yeah, well, not like Bob Stoops did. Yeah.
Bob Stoops is arguably the greatest coach they've ever had. I mean, and I know that a lot of people said no, Barry Switzer. No, but I mean, he has won a national championship. He is the reason why they have historically owned the Big 12. To me, that would be like Matt going to Oklahoma. Like, I'd be like, oh my God, the universe can't allow that to happen. Maybe it can.
It's the college.
I think they would call Bob Stoops. Yeah.
You never know what can happen in college football.
If Urban Meyer said no, Bob Stoops will get a call. And now what the hell ever happens out of that, I have no idea.
Are you telling me that Bob Stoops, the kid coach for the goddamn Dallas Renegades for the XFL, wouldn't accept a phone call from the University of Texas about his head coaching position? Come on.
Well, when you put it like that.
The Dallas Renegades.
Buy or sell, fellas. That was funny. Buy or sell. Texas shouldn't fire Tom Herman unless they absolutely know they've got a deal done and ready to go and locked in with Urban Meyer. Buy or sell?
Sell.
Okay. Hold on.
I'll buy.
You'll buy.
Sell.
Man, I think I'm buying that just because, like, we've been saying, I don't know who else is out there, so I'm buying.
I wonder if Alex got persuaded by the Bob Stoops conversation.
I kind of did. I'd never thought about that.
But the
main reason is, if you're going to fire him, you're firing him because he's Tom Herman, not because of what else is out there, is my opinion.
Well, and I think that's where Anwar was at earlier. My God, if you feel like you got to do it, then you got to do it, right? Like, you can't just keep it and you can't feel like the moment to make a move is now because you know, and then you allow yourself to get boxed into a position where even though you know you can't make the move because you got outmaneuvered on the chessboard. But, you know, as this, I think this process that we've done in this podcast has done a good job of, like, breaking down as this stuff gets a little complicated. It isn't as easy. And I asked the question because I'm reminded of the pursuit of Art Briles. And Anwar, you know, just to reset it for everybody, when Mac left, Art Briles very easily could have been the head coach at the University of Texas. He was interested in them. They were interested in him. But neither side wanted to risk being turned down by the other. So Texas wasn't officially going to interview Briles unless they had a commitment from Briles that he was going to take the job. But Briles wasn't going to interview for the job. Briles was either going to be offered the job, at which he would then go through the process of an interview, because that's what has to happen. But he wasn't going to, like, open himself up to not getting the job and then being standing around naked in the wind looking like a fool. So it just never happened. It never happened. Texas never interviewed Briles. Briles never did the same. They ended up giving him that deal. They played, what was it, the Central Florida game. Like, all that stuff happened. But it could have gone very different. I feel like Texas, I guess I bring all this up because when we get back to the Urban Meyer deal, I wonder if Texas is going to have to throw some caution into the wind. I just wonder if it's possible to get a deal done with Urban Meyer where you have that done before Herman is fired. I feel like a lot of people might say, oh no, that'll be easy. I don't know. Will it? I personally don't know, but Urban Meyer is a tactical son of a gun. And I can't see him allowing himself to have his cards exposed, his play exposed. To me, he's not doing anything until this Texas season is over with. And we've already talked about, like, this thing could extend into the middle of December and maybe into the 19th of December. And at some point, like, they may be in a position where they have to make a move just to have the chance of getting Herman. Buy or sell, you think that?
I mean, what would constitute it, though, Ketch? I mean, are we talking about, like, they lose the next three? I mean, then, yes, you have to, you know, make a move. I guess I would need to know the set of circumstances to answer that.
Well, that, I guess, I didn't give you a set of circumstances. So let's just lay out 8-2. They lose the Big 12 championship. I mean, that's like middle ground, right? They don't go all the way, but they get really close. Mm. And then in order to in order to hire Urban Meyer, they have to fire like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I just think like, I just feel like this. Okay. Then I'll say it like this then. If Urban, I'll go back to what I said. If Urban's your guy, then you make the move and you don't give a damn about what the perception is, what the people are gonna, anything like that. You're like, that's our guy. That's our move. Who cares if that's your guy? And look, Urban, you go, you know, we did a podcast catch. I wish I was better prepared for it. I'm going to filibuster for a second. We did a podcast and I looked up Urban Meyer's coaching record, right? 187-32 is his record. Since 2014, I believe Texas has lost 38 games. In Urban Meyer's career, he's lost 32. Since 2014, Texas has lost nearly 40. So if that's your dude, I mean, hey, that's your dude. But if something doesn't go through, Texas finishes 8-2 or 7-3, and they can't pull off this Urban deal. I don't think you'd have to tell me who else would come in and have that instant impact. And you know, who else is proven that, you know, for sure. Like, you know, for sure, when you hire this person, no guesswork, no, could they, maybe, I'm talking about, you know, for sure, take it to the bank. You're going to have at least 10 wins and compete for a national title. There's a lot of guesswork out there. There's, for what could be available, it's a lot of guesswork. There's only one guy that you could probably say is proven. There's only one guy that you could say, if you're Chris Del Conte and you're worried about making sure you fill up the stadium next year, you know, when we all hopefully go back to our normal lives, and you got it, and you want to make sure you fill up that stadium and get that thing taken care of, and or I don't know, increase ticket prices so you can get some money back that you didn't, you know, you may have lost in revenue, and say, man, who can do that for you? That you probably only got one guy, and if that's your guy, you got to go for it. But if you don't get that guy, I think anything else is just guesswork.
Buy or sell? We're almost done here, guys, and then we'll go into parting shots. Buy or sell? In the end, perception and recruiting will be more important than Texas's final record this season.
Buy.
Sell.
There's baby, three.
Baby buy.
You got to buy, a baby buy, and two sells. Okay. Anyone want to explain?
I'll explain my baby buy. I think it's because I feel like among some people, I know that among some people, it's like they're already done with Tom Herman. And I'm not sure that the way that the season plays out will have much effect on a lot of those people. I know that that's not the way that all of the stakeholders likely feel, but I do feel like all stakeholders involved, no matter what, are going to be looking at recruiting, going to be looking at perception of recruiting, and that's going to be something that comes into play.
I think where the perception really comes into play, and like I said earlier, I do think people in the decision-making positions are looking at recruiting now more than they ever have before. I think where the perception comes into play is that this is a university that needs to bring money in, and I think they view this as both a football decision and a business decision. And I think that's where the perception comes into play from the standpoint of they've got to make sure the money keeps coming in, both from a university campaign thing, from an athletics projects thing, from a suites thing, whatever it is. And I think they are probably viewing this as that's a risk if they don't make a move. But Anwar's point is great in that, okay, those things matter. Who are you going to get if it's not Urban to make sure all those things happen? And I think that that's probably a risk they're willing to take because of the perception and because of the recruiting and everything else.
Let me hear from the sells. I mean, sell to me, because I feel like there are people who are saying, even if he wins the Big 12 championship, recruiting sucks. Because Jason and I've been having this conversation. People keep asking us, like, what real impact do you think winning a Big 12 would have in recruiting? And one of the things I keep saying is, how the hell would we know? It's been so long since they've won one. How do you know? How would we know what winning a championship does for recruiting? This place doesn't win championships. But there are people who are saying 2021 is unacceptable. 2022 is headed that way. And not even winning a Big 12 championship changes that. And we have to do something that turns the tide back in the other direction with recruiting. I suppose if you're buying the notion that the record is more important than recruiting, your part of your argument is that winning changes potentially the direction of recruiting, because it would have to, right?
I'll let Jason go.
Sorry, I'm doing three things at once. A bit distracted, but I mean,
give me your attention.
If Texas is playing better football and that equates to winning more games, and you know, you can handle a close loss to Oklahoma if they had beaten TCU, none of this is being discussed, I don't think. I think it might have been Onmar that said maybe like recruiting was the nail in the coffin potentially. I view it more as that. I think it comes down to wins and losses. I think the off-field distractions and some of those things where people aren't seeing eye to eye, I think that's a bigger issue than recruiting. I mean, recruiting is going to play a part in the decision, and it should. You know, if you're Chris Del Conte, I mean, you can look at the 2020 season and say, okay, Texas went 8-2 and made the Big 12 championship game, finished 8-3 or whatever they do. But you also have to look at, what's this program going to be like 2, 3, 4 years down the road with the way recruiting has gone in 2021 and probably 2022? It's a factor. Recruiting's a factor, but I think it starts with wins and losses. And then I just think some of the administration and Tom Herman not seeing eye to eye on other issues, including the eyes of Texas and some other things, and continually like finding subtle ways to throw each other under the bus. I think those are bigger issues than recruiting.
Yeah, that's where I'm with Jason. Like I think recruiting affects us on that level because we are, you know, we're diehard into what we do. But I think to what Jason's saying, I think it's about, you know, the losses, right? The TCUs or not capitalizing on the Sugar Bowl loss. It's about seeing other teams like Baylor, you know, get to the Big 12 championship game. And after they only had, what was it, a 1-win season, and seeing what they was able to do. It's about, you know, headbutting a player before a game, or coming off a bus with a baseball bat, or playing with, you know, your guys on the sideline during a Missouri game, securing the bag. It's about chasing Mike Gundy across the field because you want to fight him because you think something's going on with your players. It's about throwing middle fingers up at an LHN camera. Then you add in some of the eyes of Texas and that debacle that he got blamed. Like, that's, to me, is what ends up being the more the totality. The recruiting stuff I think gets thrown in at the end for just more ammunition. But I think it's just there's enough there where I think that's where people are focusing on. But to Jason's point, and I think Jason nails it, if they're winning, no one really even worries about it, right? Everyone just kind of lets it ride. If they beat TCU, it's such a totally different conversation than we're having. Probably not even having this conversation right now. But they didn't, and this is why we're here.
I couldn't be a coach because if I was a coach, I'd be forever bitter at Keontae Ingram for, you know what I mean? I'd look at that TCU game. And even though it's likely that they might have given up points just as easily as they wouldn't have given up points and given the ball to TCU after they would have scored on a Keontae Ingram touchdown, I don't know. I'd just be bitter. I'd be bitter about drop passes, and I'd probably never forgive Blake Gideon. Just, you know, like if I was a coach on the 2008 team, I'd think I did everything right, and then Blake Gideon just needed to catch the ball, and I would just be bitter all the time.
Man, you got to watch some more Ted Lasso. Hey.
I do need to watch some more Ted. I said if I was a coach, my God, my brain would be in the ground right now, I think. This isn't a buy or sell question. This is just the last thing we'll talk about before parting shots. Although we could probably have a Ted Lasso conversation. Monday's press conference. We haven't really talked a whole lot about that. I don't know that I meant for us to go an hour into this deal and not really talk about it. even a few days later, man, like that was something else, fellas. That was something else.
I can't recall anything quite like it, you know, not because it was just like, you know, crazy or it just, I can't recall a similar scenario where a head coach has basically given himself a self-endorsement and spoke for the athletic director and university leadership. Like, I can't recall it.
It was unique in that capacity. That actually happened.
I thought like the most, like, actually did a Kansas podcast earlier this week when we thought there was going to be a game. And and that was the first question that was asked of me. Like, what was up with Tom Herman's press conference on Monday? We didn't talk about the game very much, but you know, I said, it was so telling that the question Omar asked, and I said, Omar, I thought Omar did a perfect job. You know, he's respectful in the way he asked the question. And I said, it's the topic everybody in Austin and on our message board is talking about. I mean, all due respect to Kansas, that's pretty far down the totem pole of what people are talking about. So I said it needed to be asked. But normally you get you ask Tom Herman a question, you get a 10, maybe a 30-second soundbite answer. He must have gone on for 5 minutes or more answering that question. So he had a lot he wanted to say about it. And I think it was a good timing by Anwar. And I think it was a good question needed to be asked. And Tom Herman had a heck of a lot to say about it.
He definitely made it into his State of the Union address. And
I thought he was like reading off cue cards at some point.
It was crazy. It was crazy because I wasn't quite sure what the reaction was going to be. And, you know, remember, I wouldn't tell you guys what I was going to ask. I was like, this is my question. It was interesting, but, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what to make of it. Ketch and I, we talked about it for, you know, a while, and during our overreaction Monday podcast. And, you know, I see some of his points. I don't necessarily agree with all of them, but I see, you know, his points. I can see how he could feel like it's an issue. But like Jason says, if you win, it's hard. And look, you're going to get negative recruiting in everything and in every aspect of no matter what you do. I mean, you can tell kids like, hey, you want to go to OU and play quarterback? Like, what's the odds of that? Like, they're going to bring in a five-star every year.
Anwar, Texas used to get negative recruited when Mac Brown was winning championships because the teams would say, hey, if you go there, you're going to sit the bench for two or three. You just got to overcome that stuff. I mean, that's a piss-poor excuse.
Yeah, you know what they call negative recruiting in the SEC, right?
Recruiting.
Yep, recruiting. I mean, no, you know, nobody sounds like a bigger group of collective bitches than people who are like, oh, it's not fair. They're negatively you mean they're pointing out the reasons why they shouldn't pick you instead of them? Like, come on, this is what we do. This is what we do in life as men. Everything is about, you know, it's how you got your girl. You convinced her that you were better than all the options. I don't know. It's just it's very, I don't hear Alabama really worried about negative recruiting. Then they get negative recruited, but you just do what you do. And I'll say this, if Urban Meyer gets hired to coach at Texas, there'll be some people who negative recruit against him and he will not care. And he'll just do the damn thing. And
yeah. Remember when he showed up in the Big Ten and they're like, whoa, you can't recruit guys that are committed to my school. Like, what are you doing?
He was like, yeah, no,
I don't care. I'm just going to take all your guys.
Yeah, we'll take all of your guys. Then I will beat you with them. And nobody will ever give me grief about the fact that I took your guys against some sort of breach of protocols. Like, yeah. Okay. So anything else about Monday? Like it was, and I referenced it earlier. It feels like, let me just ask you guys this. I wrote in my piece on Tuesday as like a reaction to the thing from Monday that I said 18 days and now we would be at 16 days if my math is correct. Originally, the idea was that the season was going to end in 16 days and that the way that Del Conte's played this thing, he's not going to talk. He's not going to go on the record, take any questions, make any statements. He hadn't done it all year. And boy, he's had some things he's needed to like talk about. He hadn't done it. So I said it at like 18 days, now 16 days, that we wouldn't hear from him publicly on any of this stuff, no matter how much Tom Herman gives himself a vote of confidence by being Chris Del Conte's proxy, which I've just never seen before. That was amazing theater. But now the season's an extra 7 days. We've talked about that. That would make it even at 16 now or 23 days. And boy, if they win all the games, now we're talking about they get that extra week where they play in the Big 12 championship game on the 19th. Suddenly we're a month. Suddenly we're a month away. Feels like a long time for Chris Del Conte to continue this silence thing where he just doesn't address anything. He doesn't address the eyes of Texas. He doesn't address the football program. He doesn't address anything. I mean, if Texas wins its next three games and plays in a Big 12 championship games, and so it plays out like this, where there are 30 days now left until the season's result is final. What is the expectation for, I have no buy or sell question, just what is the expectation for Chris Del Conte to say something, say anything about everything that's happening both before and in the future about what's going on? Like, he bears responsibility right now for this thing lingering the way that it does.
Oh, by the way, Ketch, as you said that date, December 19th, I kind of heard that loud. Early signing period is from December 16th through the 18th. So you could potentially have a bunch of kids sign with Texas and then 2 or 3 days later, if Texas makes it to the Big 12 championship game, if they lose and if Tom Herman's let go. I mean, you could basically have a bunch of kids sign early, then literally 2 or 3 days later, pull the plug on the head coach that they signed with. So I don't know, just another dynamic to kind of.
Well, and Jason, by the season going for, if the season ends on the 5th, now you've got a week and some change before the signing day to do whatever it is that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now, even if they wait and just let him finish out the season against Kansas, it would just be a couple of days later. You know what I mean? Like, again, that moving of the regular season finale weirdly just made some things more complicated than they would have otherwise have been.
Yeah, I guess to answer your question, what is the expectation of Del Conte? I don't know. I just am glad I'm not in his position. You can't come out and say, what's he going to say if he comes out now? You know what he's going to say? Hey, Tom Herman has my full support, even if that's not true.
Well, he could use, from kind of, he's faced some of this stuff, different situation, but with Shaka. And I remember there was one point where he basically said, hey, there's games left, or,
we do an evaluation of everybody after this.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of thing like that. So I think that he's going to have to reach a point where he just gives that sort of answer, like, hey, he basically said something like, it's crazy to talk about Shocker's future right now. We still get all these games to play and things like that. And,
but hasn't Herman put him in a position where he has to answer things like,
yes. And I think that, to me, that's exactly what Herman's intent was on Monday, was to throw the hot potato at Del Conte and say, okay, you don't want to publicly support me? Fine, deal with all these people asking you about my comments saying that you support me, type of thing. So yeah, because I guarantee you there were probably, big donor people or whatever that have been on Del Conte for a while now that saw some of those headlines and read some of those quotes, like, what the hell's going on, man? Like, what's up with this? So I think that was his main
intent. You're volunteering to call recruits? What?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was his main intent of doing that. And I think that that's, I think with some more time that passes, I think it would really benefit Del Conte to, hey, he's got his guys that he likes. It doesn't even have to be anybody in the Austin market. It could be a national guy. It could be one of his buddies in Fort Worth, but just kind of float that whole thing out there. Like, hey, we got some games left. We're going to evaluate things at the end of the season, and I hope we win our games and blah, blah, blah. Just kind of saying something without saying anything and just get something out there. But that's kind of what he did with Shaka. I was kind of looking back at some of his public comments about his status, and it was basically, it's crazy for me to address that right now. We still got a month of games and things like that. And then as time progressed, eventually as the season ended, he was like, okay, Shaka's coming back. But there were times where he was non-committal about his future. And I think that it has to reach a point there where he at least speaks publicly to someone, even if it's just to say, hey, we got some games left. Let's just see how things work out.
Yeah, but Dustin, I and Ketch, I mean, I go back to what Brian Davis, I think, slipped up and said during his, you know, his last four final minutes of that press conference. He's like, I asked Del Conte about it all the time. He doesn't want to talk about the football program. So I was like, oh, you just reveal, you talk to the guy all the time. All right. Well, just tell us who your sources are, Brian. That's pretty cool. So the fact that, the fact that he says, I talk to him all the time, and the guy doesn't want to speak on it, that needs to be, he's not going to speak on it. So if he's getting requests and Brian Davis is admitting, like, I'm making the request and he doesn't want to speak on it. Well, here's the thing. The way that these football games are set up as reporters, we're not allowed to go on the field before or after the game. So, you know, it's not like I can go down on the field and ask him, like, for instance, the whole thing that happened with Charlie Strong, I was the first person that grabbed Mike Perrin after games, and that started that whole thing. And I would, you know, that you catch, you remember that. And then I would say, well, this is what Mike Perrin's talking about in Charlie Strong's last year. We don't have that opportunity right now because after games, once we get into the press box, you got to stay in the press box, and you can't go to the field. So he's not going to say anything. He doesn't have to worry about anyone going up to him after a game or approaching him and saying a no comment. And he's already, Brian Davis is already saying he won't speak to me no matter how many times we talk. So I get it. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think the next time we hear from Del Conte on the record, when the confetti is flying one way or another, it's either at a press conference to announce a new coach. And again, after all the dust has settled, or, you know, Tom Herman is one out and Tom Herman's his guy. And it's like, what? Tom is my guy all the time. What made you guys? I never said Tom wasn't my guy. Like, where are you guys coming from? So I think he won't. I don't think he emerges until after everything is settled.
I'll just say this. I think it's dangerous, the game that he's playing, because it's easier for him. Look, at some point, there's no way Texas can play in the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma and Del Conte hide out. So the risk that he runs comes out now and he gives him the dreaded vote of confidence. Things can change over the course of a month. You can easily change your mind. What would be interesting is, Texas gets to be 8-2. They're on a 6-game win streak. Let's say they're playing Oklahoma on this Friday. They're playing them that weekend. And then a day or two before the game, Chris Del Conte has to speak to somebody. He has to go on the record. His team's playing in the championship game. Like, there's got to be some sort of athletic director commitment in these situations that puts him in front of potentially having to ask a question. He's going to get asked about his head coach. And I think you're better off going on the record now than waiting until the week of the championship game to be boxed into having to give an answer. Then I don't know that these guys aren't playing chess. I don't know that they're fully making moves with thoughts of what five moves down the road look like, but I just think that we're going to see an athletic director in Chris Del Conte look like a fool if we get to December and he still hasn't spoken about his coach. He still hasn't spoken about his program. He's going to go into the championship game, never once really speak of his coach, or it's just small. It's petty. And it already looks like his inability to not be mad at Tom Herman is affecting the relationship between the head of the athletic department and the football program. And this stuff doesn't help. Like, he's got to be a better athletic director than that. And Tom Herman has been a failure, but like, Chris Del Conte doesn't get a free roll on his failures because there's a bigger failure around him. There's just, you know, failure everywhere. And somebody trying to pretend like they're not part of it, just pretending. All right, let's go into parting shots. Hell, that can be mine. We'll go alphabetical order today. Alex, AL goes before AN. What do you got?
Happy Thanksgiving. I guess we won't be having another one of these podcasts before Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hope everybody enjoys the holiday spirit, the holiday season. My family, as usual, will be getting out of here and getting the hell away from me for about a week. So that'll be good because I don't know what I'm going to do about, you know, it's just, I was telling Cash and you guys, I was telling you guys on Slack, I guess I'll have to figure out sort of like a mid late season sort of looking back sort of review article that I'll hopefully get up maybe on Monday and Tuesday next week. And, you know, before people start checking out for Thanksgiving, but it'll be good that the, you know, the wife and the kids will be out of here so I can just, you know, put my head down for, you know, two straight days and just get that done. But yeah, I'll be enjoying all the best Thanksgiving foods, things like tamales and ribs and brisket and anything but traditional Thanksgiving food, because as we discussed last week, generally very, very, very bad. And hoping that everybody else, you know, has a great Thanksgiving and does the same and can manage to worry down all of that dry ass turkey.
I wasn't on last week's deal. Did I miss a turkey conversation?
I just told these guys that Thanksgiving food in general is pretty much trash. And I told Anwar, I managed to troll Anwar with a macaroni and cheese take on Twitter. One of these takes I do every, you know, I have a lot of controversial opinions, but some, the ones that can't really get me in trouble are my controversial opinions about Thanksgiving food being bad. So every year I'll tweet stuff about,
oh, you're less food of a person for that macaroni and cheese comment.
Yeah.
Just so
yeah,
you know, like I judged you harshly for that.
But it was a troll. I don't care.
Anwar made the comment.
Yeah.
It should worry you that I didn't co-sign it in public. That was a mental one. I was like, oh, that motherfucker doesn't like macaroni and cheese. Duly noted.
I didn't say that. I love macaroni and cheese.
No. You made your point abundantly clear.
No, you need to listen back to your own podcast.
I read what you wrote on Twitter.
I said on the podcast, it's what I tweeted was, it's not a proper Thanksgiving dish. And people just get so tilted about talking about their favorite holiday foods. I can never believe it. Any single year.
I just don't know I don't know how you're arbitrarily deciding what is appropriate either. Or not.
I don't either. That's the best part of trolls like that. To be able to definitively tell people that it's not a proper Thanksgiving.
Well, let me just say,
it tilts people endlessly, dude. You have no idea. You want to try it, Ketch.
I mean, if I hear anti macaroni and cheese, that's like anti vaxxing. Like at that point, I've literally, what? Like I'm at that point, like I can't even have a rational conversation. My brain just exploded.
People really, really care, dude. They really care.
Okay. All right, troublemaker. You go back into your corner and you be quiet, Mr. Macaroni and cheese hater. Anwar, ignore him. I supported you online, by the way. You and I, same page. What's your parting shot?
Really, I'll two things. You know, one, I'll play along with Alex. Yeah, for the most part, most Thanksgiving meals do suck. I think turkeys, unless it's smoked. I've had smoked the turkey before, and if someone knows how to smoke it real good, then that part is good. But a lot of stuff like the
what about fried turkey?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Fried. I'm sorry. I said smoked.
Fried. If you got a guy who can fry it.
Yeah, fried turkey. That's what I meant to say. I apologize.
Fried turkey is the bomb.
Oh yeah. If you have someone who's not going to, you know, burn down the house, knows what the hell they're doing. Yeah, like fried turkey is amazing. But yeah, for the most part, turkey is trash. Ham's good. A lot of, you know, pumpkin pie is trash. You know, a lot of people who make their stuffings pretty much garbage. I don't really like eating at a lot of people's houses because I just don't know how clean their kitchens are. I'm a person that I always hated potlucks, and I just never participated in them because unless I can see your kitchen and know you don't have cats rolling around on your kitchen, you know, countertops, and I'm just a huge, like, I don't like to taste other people's cookings unless I know where it's comes from. So Thanksgiving's always been the thing for me. Like if you bring it to me, I'm like, I don't know. If I go to your house, it's a little bit different. That's really not my parting shot, which is kitchens. It's interesting though that, and Ketch, you'll appreciate this. I was, this hit you on a couple of levels. You know, seeing the talk of Kyler Murray as a potential MVP candidate, and I just go back to thinking that weekend where he tweets out a Texas jersey what things could have looked like for the University of Texas if Kyler actually decided to come here. Like, I'm just curious. We'll never know the answer to that. But we know from behind the scenes that it was a thought process, and we know that Sumlin basically had to beg him to remain at A&M, and which is fascinating because eventually he left A&M. So it's just really interesting. I always think back in my head, I wonder what would have happened, and would he have made an impact or not? Would there have been too many circumstances, and, you know, maybe didn't have a good enough OC to make it happen. But I don't know. I just, as I look at his progression and where he is and look at him in the MVP race and that hellified throw that he just made, I don't know. I'm just thinking about Kyler and hell of a rise and a fantastic player, but just that's my parting shot. It's something that we'll never know the answer to, but I'll always think about.
It is an amazing what if question. And on another podcast down the road, we may explore that because that could be an hour by itself, but we're in parting shots now, and I will nod my cap at you, Anwar, and let you know that I have lots I want to say about that. But I will
write that for Sunday. The what ifs of the Texas program.
That, hey, there's no game this week. That sounds like one that might do. I don't want to steal yours.
No, I don't have anything because you're known as longer than me. But there's probably plenty of what ifs that you can go back and be like, what if this happened?
Oh, that's one. I could do my top 10 this week could be top 10 what ifs. Oh man.
Nice. Love it.
I don't even know the answer to that yet. That could be, there's the Nick Saban ones. That's got to be number one, right? Off the top of my head, Jason? Biggest what if in Texas history? I mean, we can go Ryan Perilou. We can go all kinds of what ifs.
Colt getting hurt at Alabama.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That might even be bigger than Saban. Oh, that'll be the argument right there.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know how I'm going to rank these, but we've already got my top 10 this week.
Because the Saban thing probably isn't even a thing if they win that game.
Maybe.
What if Charlie beat Kansas?
That's another good one.
I mean, that was the worst team in the country. Like, what if he beat them?
God.
It's great.
I'll have to give some thought then because he would lose his job the next season, presumably. So then I have to give my thought, like, who would have been the hot coach in 2017? Anybody know that off the top of their head? Who was the Tom Herman of 2017 to Tom Herman's Tom Herman in 2016?
Man, that's a great question.
I can't remember. But I'd have to go back and look and see who that person would be. Because that guy ultimately.
Maybe Pete. Maybe PJ Fleck, maybe?
It would have been Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule was the same year as Herman.
Yes. Yeah, Rhule would have just been. And Lincoln Riley would have still been, at that point, a second-year head coach at Oklahoma. So he wouldn't be on the table. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like the way things went down, Strong's last year would have then been Lincoln's first year, which would have made it real easy to fire Charlie at that point. They'd have got steamrolled by, what was that? Kyler's team. I've lost track of the beatdowns at this point. Anyway, Dustin, parting shot. See, we literally, I tried to get out of that, and then people just started shouting out what ifs, and look how much fun that was.
You know what you're doing, Ketch. You're working on Kyler time right now, is what you're doing.
Kyler time.
As Anwar was talking, I remembered that I drove around campus and it was like pouring down rain that day because we were just trying to get eyeballs on these guys. And then I think it was while I was driving, he tweeted out a photo of the jersey. Yeah, what a wild like 48 hours, 72 hours that was. But not much of a parting shot. Basketball season is going to start on Wednesday. I hope I'm wrong, but I mean, my gut feeling is this just going to be a wild basketball season from just the COVID standpoint and things like that. There's already several season opening games that have been postponed into a later date. I just hope that this thing doesn't have as many hiccups as I unfortunately feel like it's going to. But if it doesn't, could be a very entertaining and fun season. And, you know, it could, Texas depth could be tested in a very interesting way from the standpoint of, you know, things like contact tracing and things like that. But I do think one thing that could be beneficial for Texas and even college basketball teams that are taking a similar approach if they're doing this thing is, you know, usually you see so much growth from the basketball side when the semester ends in December and, you know, guys are just on campus and they don't have to worry about class and finals or anything else. It's just basketball. So that's kind of an extended period now for Texas relative to the past, but excited for that season to get going. And hopefully there's just not a lot of hiccups early on as cases are rising and we're seeing it with college football right now, all these games being affected.
Well, maybe if Greg will stop playing with a bunch of scrubs, that, random scrubs yeah, in a gym, yeah. Like maybe you won't have that worry. How about
yeah,
that?
That's, yeah, that's definitely going to stop once the games start happening. But yeah, he's, you know, Greg, he loves the YouTube videos and he loves the highlights and things like that. So Greg is going to be Greg, who, by the way, he was named to the Naismith Trophy watch list today. The only Texas guy on the list. To be fair, there's 50 players nationally on that list, but he did make the Naismith Trophy watch list, which goes to the top player in college basketball.
It's just crazy to me that Shock has got a team that we finally really want to watch, and like it's a pandemic.
I mean, it's not to make light of the pandemic, but in some ways, that's just kind of been Shock's luck. Sometimes at Texas, it's just like, man. Looks like things are going to start happening and then something else pops up and it's just crazy. So yeah,
he is like he is the CS Eeyore under the cloud.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, Jason. Parting shot.
Yeah. Not a ton. Interesting day yesterday, Texas gets a commitment from Byron Murphy, who defensive tackle, who is committed to Baylor. Kind of came out of the blue, but talking to Byron last night, he'd been talking to the Texas coaches for a while and, yeah, the timing of like a commitment from anybody at this point going to Texas, because these recruits aren't stupid. I mean, they're on social media. They know the rumors of what's going on in Texas and is Tom Herman going to be around, this, that, and the other. So, I don't know, kind of interesting time for Texas to be picking up a couple commitments. But in talking to Byron Murphy and Terrence Cooks, I'll have updates in Cooks in the war room tonight. But, both those guys just really like the program as much as anything else. They really like their position coaches. Terrence Cooks, really, really strong connection with Coleman Hutzler, Byron Murphy with both defensive line coaches. So nice pickups. I think Cooks rivals him as a 3-star. I think he should be a 4-star. Maybe he gets a bump. I'm not sure. Byron Murphy's, there aren't a lot of pure defensive tackles in the state, quality ones. And I think Byron Murphy's one of the few. So I think it's a good pickup there. So, good to finally have a little bit of positive recruiting news to report on for the first time in what seems like forever. So a couple nice pieces for the defense added in the last 4 or 5 days.
I don't really have a parting shot. It hadn't occurred to me that this might be the last podcast because next Thursday is Thanksgiving and, I just hadn't given, I haven't thought about that. They just hit me upside the head. Oh yeah. Next week they play Iowa State, but Thanksgiving's right in front of it. Hey, man, in the event that we don't have a modcast before next week, like we could do one the day before, I don't know. We just have to figure out, like, how badly we want to do a podcast, I suppose. But in the event that we don't, here's to everybody, like, getting through with all of the crazy stuff with families. If you're even going and doing stuff with the family, because, right, technically they're advising people not to travel. But if you do travel, here's to everybody just getting through Thanksgiving without being at everybody's throat over the table over all the crazy things that have happened in the world that have created such a variety of opinions about so many things. So here's just to us not only having good food and like good company, but like let's just not all go after each other's throats and be generally I don't know. Let's give everybody like a 24-hour day pass to get through Thanksgiving. Anyway, here is from us to you. May you guys be safe and be well. Until next time. Later.